NFFL podcast. I am your host with the almost most, Dr. Richard Headley, joined this week by Grizzly Adams, Lieutenant Commander Benjamin Hoadley himself. Ben, welcome aboard. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Doctor. It's great to be here with you. Love what you do with this podcast every week, and happy to spend some time with you on this lovely fall evening, or at least what it feels like fall here in San Diego. And yeah, it's funny you mentioned Grizzly Adams. My beard has gotten to the point where when I tell people I'm still in the Navy, I get strange looks. Like, I just need to stop telling people because I don't think people believe it anymore. So either that or I'm just going into crazy veteran mode. So, which I've been there for a while.
I can see crazy veteran mode now that you bring it up. If your hair up top was longer, I could see you as that guy that comes running out of the alley with like that theory about they're here, they've landed.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Either that, I mean, I think more flattering. I like to prefer myself as Lieutenant Dan when he's in New York City and he's confronting or sees his old war buddy there in Forrest Gump.
There you go.
That's the image that comes to mind when I look at myself in the mirror. So
there you go. On the plus side, you do have still both of your legs that you use.
I do.
There you go.
I do.
Yeah. So, all right. So enough chit chat. Let's say we get into the NFFL week 3.
Let's do it.
All right. So let's start with some injuries. We've got some, I won't say fun ones this week, but more running backs on the turf. Start with the ones that aren't quite so bad. Saquon Barkley going to be out for, the coaching staff says, day-to-day, but he's already been ruled out for Thursday night, and the initial estimate was up to 3 weeks. With an ankle, it didn't look like it ballooned up like it did last year, so that's good, right?
Yeah, I've watched both those Giants games, and I tell you, Saquon Barkley has been a workhorse last year in a losing season for the Giants, but this year, even in the two tough games that they've had, they've relied on him quite a bit. That was a wild win for the Giants in Arizona, and they're really going to be hurting without Saquon. You know, I don't mean to jump ahead, but I've seen you've given some shout outs later in the podcast to Daniel Jones, and I am not a believer. I think he's in real trouble.
Oh, so. Yeah, he did. And I'm not going to fight with you on that one. Got some concussions. Anthony Richardson, Devontae Adams, and Jaylen Waddle, all three with concussions. Jaylen's probably the most mild. He has a good shot at playing on Sunday. But Anthony did not practice Wednesday. And Devontae, he's 50-50 at this point. I feel kind of bad for Jizza. He played Anthony and he's doing good.
Yeah, he was looking great. Stash. And, I watched the replays of both those hits for Richardson and Waddle, and it really didn't look all that bad, in real time to me. But I know with the QB, they're going to be a lot more conservative with those concussion protocols than might be with some other position players. So, I felt for Jizza. He wasn't going to win that game, but it was going to be a lot closer, as you guys predicted last week, without that with that concussion.
Yeah, like you said, they're going to be careful. But, it didn't look like much, but yeah. Then we got some hamstrings. Micah Hyde, Jamal Williams. Yeah. Jamal had one more shot at a nice big workload this week before we get what's-his-face. Sorry, Danny's not here. What's-his-nuts back in New Orleans. David Montgomery got that thigh issue. Dan Campbell thinks he'll be potentially back, but doesn't sound like it from anyone else that's talked to him. Salvin Ahmed's got a groin injury. Quincy Williams, knee injury. He's on your roster, isn't he?
No.
No?
Unless my ass man was doing some funny things.
No, I was looking at him on someone's roster. He's one of their linebackers. I forget who it was. But a couple of guys out for the season. Shaq Thompson.
Quincy Williams is on my roster. Sorry, my Jets linebacker.
Yes.
My faux pas. Sorry.
Well, you did put Bizzle in charge of your defense, right?
Actually, the way it's worked out is I'm more the defensive man. He's been a lot more aggressive with the offensive offers. And in fact, can I segue into my wonderful ass minute? Can I just take a minute and talk about Connor Dolly for a second?
Certainly.
And his role on the team. I just want to address it with the league. I want to make it very clear to the league, and he was a little shady about it on the podcast, that Connor Dolly was hired as my coach in the offseason. He played it off as he was just consulting me, but my office as general manager has conducted an internal investigation, because if he's consulting with other teams, then he will be fined and suspended. So that investigation is ongoing. But at this point, we really appreciate Connor Dolly's efforts for Are You Not Entertained? And yes, I am planning on changing my team name probably every week. I should have done it before tonight's podcast, but I'll save next week's brand for tomorrow, I guess. But Connor's doing a great job. Got to do a few tweaks on what he feels empowered to do throughout the league. It feels like I wake up in the morning and there are six new players on my team. I don't even know what's happening half the time. So we're working out the kinks. And we're moving forward, and I'm happy to have Connor on my team as long as he watches his mouth moving forward when he's talking to the press.
There you go. That's the hardest one to rein in.
Yeah.
Yes. But we do have Shaq Thompson out for the season with a fractured fibula. And, of course, the big one, Nick Chubb, out for the season with that horrendous knee injury, potentially career-ending from everything that they're throwing around. Thoughts on Nick Chubb and his, his impact?
I mean, it's tough. A horrific, you never want to see a guy, any position player, anyone in the NFL go through something like that. It had flashes just for a moment of the Buffalo game that we all had to experience a year ago. It felt like some of that energy was in the air, but, you hate to see a guy end his career like that. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure, but like you said, it's going to be a long road regardless. And the effect of the Browns, I'll save further comments about that down the line, but it's going to hurt one way or the other.
That it will. So that's all the injuries we're going to talk about this week. Let's move on to I liked doing the week one overreactions last week, so let's do some week two overreactions, and let's lead into that. The Browns are done without Nick Chubb. That just broke this morning that they have re-signed Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. He knows the system. They let him go, but they weren't willing to trade him while he was with them last year because apparently they couldn't get high enough offer. So they saw his value enough to hold on to him. They let him go because he wasn't valuable enough to pay him, but they did sign him even though he didn't find enough money with at least two teams in the offseason. So what do you think? Overreaction, Browns are done without Nick Chubb this year?
Absolute overreaction. I think I've watched both Brown games. They certainly have some rough edges they've got to figure out, but Watson is showing that he's got the smarts to really throw the rock and make good decisions in the backfield there. Ford, obviously I have Ford on my roster. He sat on the bench and he looks great. I think all of his performance so far the last two games, he looks great on tape. So, when it comes to Kareem Hunt and what he's going to be able to do for the Browns moving forward, it's one of these things where it's a toss up. I feel like Hunt can provide value to the Browns. I think he's going to help Ford out. I think they can manage him in certain situations that he's good with. The storyline behind these players wanting the trades and the money now, you've seen it with other players in the offseason. These guys are willing to push the boundary really hard to get what they want. And I think that's more of the storyline than what their ability is on the field. So whatever Hunt was dealing with in the background with general management at the Browns, I still think he's got what it takes to, you know, perform and help Ford out in the background. So as much as Chubb is going to hurt, I think the Browns have got the pieces just to continue to move forward. And they were going to have challenges even if Chubb stayed in the lineup anyway. They're not a Super Bowl winning team, but they're certainly better than they were last year.
They are better, especially on defense. I do like your perspective on their backfield. And Hunt's not coming in to take over the number one role. He's coming in as a supplement. But I don't have as much faith in Watson. He looked like a deer in the headlights, too. I watched every down of Monday night's game. It's one of the few Steelers games I get to watch, unfortunately, every time I watch them in prime time. Well, I live in Northeast Ohio, so I get to watch a lot of Browns and a lot of Bengals games. I get to watch about 5 Steelers games a year, and they're always the worst ones. And Deshaun does not look good to me, at least in that game. And I know it's a divisional game. I know it's a little more chippy than others, but there were, especially in that second half, there were so many times where he just looked so unsteady and looked like he wasn't sure of what to do. And he still had Cooper wasn't even supposed to expected to play. But he still had all of his top receiving targets out there, and he was not on at all. And then you got him deciding to grab guys by their face masks, throw them around, and narrowly miss getting ejected by shoving the ref out of the way to get back into a fight. I don't know how he didn't get thrown out for that one, but that'll be a nice fine this week for him. Yeah, I don't think they're done. Don't expect to see them competing for a Lombardi trophy either way.
Fair point. Have to maybe calibrate my perspectives a little bit on that. I mean, I was laughing when he got that personal foul penalty, because it's like, who knew Deshaun Watson has anger management issues? I think that's been well documented over the last couple years. But they play in the toughest division, one in my mind, the toughest division in football.
Oh, yeah.
And that it's going to make any team look maybe lesser than other divisions, you know?
Yeah. And they're always, and there's a reason that the AFC North tends to get referred to as black and blue division. And those division matchups tend to get circled on the calendar for broadcasters, but So Bijan Robinson, is he already a top 5 running back after 2 games?
Not in my eyes, you know. That's just from my personal eye test, you know, watching him, watching the tape, watching him play. He had some great looking runs over the weekend, but, you know, top 5 is a stretch for me. And I think about it from a fantasy perspective. I think there's a difference between a top 5 fantasy running back and a top 5 real world running back. And I certainly don't think he's in reality a top 5. Maybe he's got the juice to and the opportunity to put those number together for whoever owns them fantasy wise, but I don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't think he is yet. I think he has the potential to be. I think he's in a great system for it. But I think it's a little early to make that declaration. The Bucks are the best team in the NFC South.
I mean, again, you know, saying that is like, you know, who's the worst team in the AFC North, right? Like, it's the same question. It feels like to me, it's kind of easy to be the best team there. You know, like the Bucks have benefited quite a lot over the last 5 years from being in a division that's. I think arguably weaker across the board. So I don't think so. We're two games in, starting to throw titles like that around. Teams are going to start picking up on Baker Mayfield. They're going to pick up on the Bucs, and they're going to start throwing different things at them. And let's ask that question again in 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, there are so many Browns fans up here that are still on the Mayfield train. Pissed off that he was let go. But I think it's still way too early. They've played Minnesota and Chicago, who are two of the worst defenses in the league this year so far. I mean, they're both bottom 10 defenses just in points against at the individual positions. So, and they get Philadelphia next, which has got a just already 2 weeks in a ravaged secondary. So, but after that, I mean, you're going up against New Orleans and Atlanta. Both have pretty stiff defenses that they're going to go against twice this season. Carolina is going to be tougher. Than you've got Buffalo on their schedule, San Francisco yet on their schedule, Green Bay. I mean, yeah, I think it's too early to write that book.
Yeah, I think just overall, like for me, watching week one and week two of the NFL on a holistic level, it just feels like Jekyll and Hyde. You know, I think week one looked very different from week two to me overall. That was reflected in our fantasy numbers and looking at how our teams performed. I think in week one, we had 4 of 12 teams meet projections. And then I think that almost was exact opposite in week two, maybe off by one, but, you know, teams were overperforming versus projections. So I think that's some parity of the NFL. I just don't know what we have yet. So it's hard to tell.
Yeah. For my money, it's probably New Orleans that wins the South. So not overreactions, but just three fun things. Three of my favorite things from week one or week two. Jordan Love's butt stumble. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did, yeah. As a Cowboys fan, my heart goes out to you. Been there.
Oh, just one of the funniest false start penalties I've seen ever. Other than when they have to pull out everyone but the center. My new favorite name that I hadn't heard before this weekend, the Chargers' third string tight end, Stone Smart. He caught.
I did not see that.
Yeah, he caught one pass on one target for 24 yards on Sunday. It popped through. I don't remember where I saw it, but the name just flashed through. I was like, oh, that's a fun name.
What is with NFL teams and having three tight ends on their roster and everyone getting points? It's like every tight end got something, but nobody got much.
Yeah.
You know?
See, tight end is, they just like to spread the ball around instead of, if it's not Kelsey or Andrews, you're spreading the ball around.
Yeah. I mean, watching the Dallas game, I could, like, how do you pick a Dallas tight end? I mean, even just as a fan, you know?
Yeah. And of course, the Bill Belichick sassy challenge flag throw.
I did not see that.
You did not see that? Oh, you need to find that. There's a. Just for visual.
I watched that game too. I don't know how I missed that.
I didn't see it live. I must have stepped out of the room when he did it live. I saw it all over social media the next day. But there's a point where he throws a challenge flag. There's a ref on the sideline with the I think it was the chain gang. They were trying to move a cable out of the way. And Bill's just kind of standing there, arms crossed. He's got the flag in his hand. And he just kind of stands there. And he throws it like this right in front of the ref. You can find it. Just search for Belichick sassy challenge. You'll find it pretty easy.
All the internet memes that must be out there for that.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I know for sure if you follow NFL memes on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever it is, they've got it there. They've got the video.
All right, I've been thinking about this a lot. And I think our league is lacking something. A giant. As you can all see, all of our teams suck. Some of the lineups aren't even legal. I would like to propose to you what I call the 8-way trade.
All right, so let's move on to the trading block. There weren't any trades this week, but we talked off mic that we'd bring one up that we were just discussing on air. So I'll let you lay out the trade parameters here, and we'll do a little discussion.
Yeah, this will be fun. I appreciate you entertaining this. I think, league, you're about to witch some live trade talks. You know, as always, even though it's only we're rolling into week three, this league sucks at trading. You guys are horrible to trade with. I think I'm going to start at least four fist fights at Next Mancation just based on the trades that have been either offered or rejected at this point for my team. So what I'm offering, Dr. Headley, is I think you need some quarterback help. I think Justin Fields is just not going to do it for you moving down the line. I think you need a little extra spark. I have the number three overall fantasy quarterback right now in Russell Wilson. I know he isn't the sexiest option watching him in Denver. In fact, watching that Denver game the other night was admittedly painful, but he's producing. He's throwing. He's got Sean Payton by his side. They're throwing the rock. You know, it's averaging 35 points a game fantasy. I think he could use him. You can put him on the roster. And in return, I really would like Mike Evans to come join Are You Not Entertained and help our wide receiver core out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do agree. Justin has been a bit of a disappointment for me. I mean, he's been close to his projections, but he is not what I would have expected this year. He has been... He's barely squeaking in garbage time. You know, I expected him to take that leap, and just watching some of the tape where he stands in the pocket and he's got two or three receivers open and he's just standing there, not throwing and not running either. I don't know what's going on up there. And I don't mind Russell. You know, I've had Russell before. Boy, that sounds dirty. I had Russell last year. Russell really burned me last year. I thought he was going to be big in his first year in Denver, and apparently Hackett really screwed everyone over in Denver. I like what Russell's shown me so far. The question is, am I willing to part with Mike Evans, who's been a big part of the season for me? I traded for him just before the first game. I like what Mike's doing. He's getting up there, but he's still got it. And he's actually making Baker Mayfield look good. I've made it no, I've hidden none of my thoughts on this from anyone in the league. I'm not a Baker fan. I find Baker to be at times Tom Brady level of arrogant, cocky son of a bitch ass with about a third of the talent. But he's managing to get the ball to Mike. And, you know, Mike's been having a good time down there, especially after last year where he got three whole touchdowns and they were all in the same game. So, you know what? I say we pull the trigger. I'm down.
Let's do it. Russell Wilson for Mike Evans, straight up. You've heard it here first, gang. I don't know how more public we could be about a trade announcement than on the podcast. So... This was fun. Great.
Yeah, I like it.
In the dice. We'll sign the paperwork after the podcast, and good luck to you, sir.
Yeah, to you as well. I hope you enjoy, Mike, and hopefully Baker doesn't shoot you in the foot.
Yeah, we'll have more to talk about as we get into matchups next week.
Yes, we will. But let's look back at last week first. Going to start with Bear Bunda's Nightmare taking on E-Town Asian. This was the projected game of the week. Finished up 220.18 to 162.58. It's a 57.5-point margin of victory for Bear Bunda's Nightmare. I wouldn't have called that the game of the week. That was a blowout. These are pretty much all blowouts except for two. So
I thought you gave me and Ty the game of the week.
I would have to look back at my notes, but right. I had this noted in my notes when I first put these in. But
it doesn't matter. We're going to get to my game of the week. My game with Ty anyway. But
studs to have mentioned for this one: Fred Warner, Josh Allen, and Bijan all rose this week. They had some rough games the first week. Not that they were bad necessarily, but they did improve. Brian Robinson, just huge week for him. Looks like he's nice and all healed up from last year with that mugging. And Darren Waller finally showed up. Apparently the scuttlebutt is that the hamstring issue he's got is a chronic one. It's more nerve than muscle. And duds, Tyler Allgeier, Michael Pittman, and Stefon Diggs all had a sharp drop off after last week. Christian Harris, half of a tackle. I hate when defenders only get like half a tackle. I'd almost have them rather get nothing. And Tua, not as steady this week. Real world, nice performance. Fantasy, not so great. What do you think about this matchup, Ben?
Yeah, I'll start with the Tua comment. I mean, I watched that game. Playing the Chargers, being out here in San Diego, you know, that's who I have to watch on a weekly basis. I have to suffer through at least one Chargers or Rams game a weekend in San Diego. And yeah, watching the Miami game, I mean, they just look great. They look fantastic against, and you know, the broadcasters were even talking about the defensive adjustments they made. So yeah, between the Miami defense and Tua's performance, I agree with you. It did not translate to fantasy for Josh. I had hoped that he would beat Danny. I just hope everybody beats Danny. I don't know why that is. That's just an honest reaction. Fair. You know, there are fantasy managers that I really relate to, and every move that Danny makes, I always scratch my head and I don't understand it. And then it comes up with wins like this. You know, so, you know, one of us is either a smart genius and the other is a torture genius. Some weeks are one or the other. So good for Danny.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a nice, confident win. I chose Brian Robinson as my matchup MVP for this one. Moving on to the Battle of Philly, which was the projected toilet bowl game of the week. And really, I'm going to say it was a toilet bowl game of the week. Gridiron Mafia taking on the 25%ers. 236.58 to 150.82. That is an 85.76 point margin of victory for Gridiron Mafia. That is this week's largest margin of victory. Whip-ass victory of the week around here. And just for fun, you know, Jizza, we love you, but I'm still going to poke fun at this whole 25% of your roster being Philadelphia players. Five Philadelphia players started. That's 33% for anyone who's not good with math and not to Scott's level of math. 33% of the 25%ers roster was composed of Philadelphia players, one of which, by the way, scored a goose egg. Combined for a total of 42.4 points. Of those, just over 25.5 were from Swift. So five players combined for less than 17 points from Philadelphia for the 25%ers. That's, I don't know, looking back at the bench, if there would have been better options, but that's really what I'd point at for the death throw there. Let's look at the studs. Devonta Smith, potential real number one in Philadelphia. Danielle Hunter leads week two's number one defense. And just mentioned DeAndre Swift. He had nothing really in week one, and there was a lot of talk about him making his real debut in Thursday Night Football, and he did in a big way. Just over 25.5 points. On the downside, Hassan Reddick, invisible on defense, and Alexander Mattison has not looked great through 2 weeks. Granted, his first two matchups have been tough sledding, but still has not looked great for Minnesota letting go of Dalvin Cook, although they did today make a trade for another running back.
Yeah, I mean, watching Swift was fun. He looked great in that game, and I'm excited to see what he can do more for Philly on down the line. He looked really sharp. I mean, props to Joe with Madison coming in at 5 points and still being able to score 236. I would gather that 236 will probably be a top 10 score for the season at some level.
Yeah.
It's hard to get that high, and you got to get lucky a little bit. But overall, you look at Joe's roster and Gridiron Mafia, and everyone, for the most part, put up something. And even though between Sanders and Miles Sanders and Madison drop off in running back performance, and to have everybody else have a decent or above decent day, given that, you know, again, there's only one other team in the league that week that would be Joe. So yep. Great overall performance. And as far as Jizza goes, like, as a great man in our league once said, you can't win the league at the draft, but you can lose it. And, you know, Joe, who got drunk and drafted four kickers post round 16, posting a 236, I think he's proving to the league that maybe next year round 16, everybody gets drunk and we all see what happens. Because Joe may have stumbled on something.
He,
I don't know.
He may have. I'm going to give TJ Hockenson the matchup MVP for this one because I almost never give it to a tight end and because he did score twice. So, matchup number three, Jim Kelly Hates Cancer taking on Sweatman's Runners.
Oh, this was fun.
Yes, this turned out to be the unexpected game of the week. 175.96 to 174.96, an even 1 point margin of victory for Jim Kelly Hates Cancer. If you don't pay attention to the ring on Sunday nights and Monday nights, you really should, because you get in some good discussion there. Scott was all over it. Smallest margin of victory on the week. And CeeDee Lamb, welcome back.
Welcome back. He looked great.
Yep, he did. It didn't seem like anything could go wrong for him. Hunter Henry also showing up big time. So a lot of good tight ends this week, apparently, even though we already bashed them once. On the downside, Dalvin Cook, negative points. Really don't like to see that from a starting running back. Javon Hargrave.
Well, you do if you own Breece Hall, then you're okay with it.
Yeah, except for when Breece only scores like 3 points. Javon Hargrave, Javon, half a tackle. Big name to only be putting up that. And A.J. Brown Pants and Calvin Ridley combining for 6 receptions for 61 yards, just over 9 points. On 14 targets combined. That's not good for your two big name wide receivers. What are your thoughts on this unexpected matchup there?
Well, first of all, just the entertainment value of it. I mean, both these teams, again, a lot of teams in our league were hovering right around their weekly projections. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an entertainment factor to that where you meet those numbers and everyone's close and no one's getting lucky. And no one's getting unlucky. And it's just one tackle. I mean, from an entertainment value, I think this is great. Mm-hmm. I know Scott is cursing me right now. And, you know, Chuck is giving me a sly grin or what passes for a smile in his life. So, you know, he's the victor this week. And it was just fun, like you said, on Monday night to watch the fantasy scores come in and keep an eye on these guys. Those are kind of my thoughts. Just enjoyed it from a fantasy perspective.
Oh, yeah. And my matchup MVP, it's going to Taysom Hill. Two reasons.
Oh, why are you doing that?
You know exactly why I'm doing that. Because Taysom Hill is what put Chuck over the top on Monday night. And because Taysom Hill is the one player that Scott has declared his hatred for now.
Well, at least you're honest about your sauce.
Yeah, you know? That's right. Sorry, Scott. He's the guy that beat you. You can go go up to Cleveland and find, what's his face, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. And he didn't give you the one more tackle you wanted. Let's hop over to RosterGuard 99 and San Diego 8. This matchup was separated by less than 1 point before the Monday Night Football doubleheader. Finished 173.74 to 172.72. A 1.02 point margin of victory for RosterGuard 99. Yes, we had two games that finished with a 1 point difference. Studs, Keenan Allen, not too old to be catching all kinds of everything. Garrett Wilson turned in a big performance, even with Zach under center. And Jaden Reed having himself a day. On the dud side, Devin White not looking great. Nick Bosa, two games in and not showing that he's worth the holdout money that they threw his way. And Brandon Ayuk, he got hurt, but he still played. And after week one's blow up, he only went 3 for 43. What do you think about this one, Ben?
I mean, for Rob's sake, Nick Chubb, you just look at that stat line right there. And, you know, if Nick Chubb has played the whole game, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now, even mm-hmm. if the margin of victory was just 5 or 6 more points. This was, you know, you hate to see it this way, but the way I see it is that, yeah, Rob lost this game with Chubb going out. And that's got to sting as a manager. It's also great to see Mark Andrews come back, you know, and produce not only as a fantasy player, but produce for Baltimore. Obviously that helped Lamar out quite a bit. Another fun one to go down to and at the end of the week and see these scores really, really close. Mm-hmm. Just makes it more fun.
It does. I felt so bad for Rob too. I'd pick Rob to win this one, and even one more carry for Chubb, the way that he was running through Pittsburgh's defense probably would have been the difference. It just, you hate to lose it on an injury like that.
Yeah. I will say this, as far as Rob goes, Trevor Lawrence, your feelings regarding Baker Mayfield are how I feel about Trevor Lawrence. I don't see it. I don't see Lawrence being the guy. I just, why he's starting in fantasy rosters, I just don't get it. So, Rob, as much as I feel for you with the Chubb injury, go get yourself a fucking running quarterback. Like, there's plenty of them out there. Go do it.
All right. So the man does not like the long hair of Trevor Lawrence. Let's go on to Lance Manlove taking on Night Shift. I was the only one on last week's podcast episode to pick myself to win. And glad to say I did. 178.20. It was nice. Felt good. 178.20 to 206.59. 28.39 point margin of victory for Night Shift. Studs. Puka Nacua continues to fill in admirably for Cooper Kupp. Kyren Williams went off as well and carried Night Shift to the number 2 offensive performance on the week. And throwing some love to Micah Parsons' way, I have to say I enjoyed seeing his, I can't really call it an alligator crawl after his first sack.
I don't know what that is.
Whatever it was, that was fun. Whatever it was fun to watch. He crawled for like 10 yards after he was done.
He's a monster.
He is. He's a monster. He's a beast. He is a beast. He turns in performance after performance. I hate to play against him, but he's fun to watch in real life. Duds, Jamar Chase continues to wait for that first game of where he's going to be relevant. 8 targets this week and still less output than week 1. Samaje Perine, zilch. He was on the field for like 2/3 of the snaps, and he didn't do anything until right before halftime. He, for 50% of the snaps, he had 5 whole touches in the game. 50% of time for 50% of snaps, they only had him touch the ball five times. I know he's only there as the backup, but still, odd to me. And Lance Mann loves number 12 offensive performance of the week. What do you think about this one?
For you going in the week, and listening to the podcast that week, I can kind of see why other people were choosing Jason. Jason has on paper a strong team, and you beat your projection by over 40 points, it looks like. Mm-hmm. So your wide receiver core really showed up. 16 points out of James Conner out of Arizona, where Arizona is – you watch that game and you watch what's going on in Arizona right now, it's, you don't really know what you're getting out of that team. So yeah. I love Connor. But the fact that you get 16 out of him that week, I wouldn't expect that every week moving forward in Arizona.
No.
So, get it while you can get it. It's kind of what I'm saying. Williams out of LA, like, put up big points. You had some offensive studs. As far as Jason goes, yeah, I don't know what's in the water in Cincinnati. Again, another division. It was a divisional game, right? Who did they play?
They were up against Baltimore.
Baltimore. Yeah. So another divisional game. Again, I it's the same conversation. Like, I wouldn't count the Bengals out. They've got some issues. I'm not quite sure what's going on with Burrow. I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I didn't see his injury update yet today. But Chase is going to get his. So it's only a matter of time.
He will.
Before he gets his. So I wouldn't press the alarm bells if I was Jason at all. I'd certainly be pissed about it. But he's got a strong offense. Mm-hmm. You'd like to see a little bit more out of Josh Jacobs. But 178 again, right around projections. You had five or six other teams kind of right around that score. It's still above league average. You just hit the big lotto this weekend there, doctor.
So I did. My guys just showed up and showed up big. Hopefully it's a trend. Yeah. As for, that injury, he re-aggravated on his last snap and they wound up not taking the field again after that. So it's looking day to day for Burrow. It's probably going to be something he has to deal with throughout the course of the season. But Jason's got the first and third, the number one and number three wide receiver for Cincy. He's got Chase and Boyd both. And they just weren't the targets this week. T. Higgins went from nothing week one to just under 25 points week two. He got both touchdowns.
So. Oh, I'm well aware.
So, yeah. MVP for this one, I gave it out to Kyren Williams, especially since found out Cam Akers was a healthy scratch about 10 minutes before the early games.
Yeah, I saw that. It was weird.
And now he's a Viking. So much for believing the coaching staff in the offseason on this one. Remember last year when I was saying that Sean McVay was wanting him out of town and seemed to surprise everyone? Yeah, I should have kept reminding myself of those ones. All right, last matchup. Awful Waffles taking on Are You Not Entertained? 248-32 to 172-74. This is a 75.58-point margin of victory for Awful Waffles. Studs in this one. Let's give it to the Giants. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley both had very good half of football. I can't say Daniel Jones had a good game, but he had a good half. Lamar Jackson tripled his output from week one. It's always good to have your number one weapon back in the lineup. So welcome back, Mark Andrews. Duds, Breece Hall. He had four attempts for 9 yards and two targets, no receptions. He brought in 0.9 points. Jesse Bates, the third. Not based on his projections, but based on last week's performance to this one, just found him to be lackluster. And Levante David, 1.5 tackles. not a guy that you should be expecting that stat line from. What do you think about this matchup there?
Hey, obviously, as the manager for, are you not entertained? Like, I really wasn't upset about this. When you're playing a team like Ty, who goes from 137 to 248 in a span of a week, like, I can't be upset about that. It's going to be probably the top score of the year. So, I mean, you look at your roster and it's tempting to like be like, well, if I played that guy or did that pick up, there wasn't a lot I could do to beat 248. No. You know, I haven't been able to figure out that Rubik's Cube. So good for Matthias. You know, he had a rough week one. And I tell you what, Nico Collins, Zach Moss, you know, the way that he plugged his holes and pulled some guys in for week two, man, it just paid off. Mm-hmm. You know, and the down week that we saw across the NFL in week one, you know, I think it was just the right mix of molecules and mm-hmm. he took off. So good for Matthias. Where I'm upset is that he's 2-0 with a victory that only cost him 137 points. That's bullshit. I'm not gonna blame a guy for I'm gonna congratulate managers for winning with 250, but winning with 137, fuck you.
That is definitely
and who knows how that'll play out down the season when we're at the end of the year and we're fighting for playoff spots and to see how that game will kind of add in the stat lines.
Yep.
You know, as far as my team goes, you know, yes, I'm happy that Jackson's back. This is what I expect him to do every week. I expect 35 out of him, mm-hmm. even though the Yahoo algorithm has him down in mid low 20s with his projection. I want 35 out of him, and he's fighting for everything. I mean, he was, you look at him, it wasn't a big play game for him. It was just consistently 6 yards here, 7 yards here, a couple big plays, but he's working for every one of those points. And I hope, you know, we knew going into it that Breece Hall was going to be a tough matchup against the Dallas defense. I would have started Watson, wide receiver in my flex, if he had been in. So, mm-hmm. you know, me and Connor just was like, we got to roll the dice on Hall and just kind of hope we get lucky, but we really didn't expect Hall to do much in that matchup. Pacheco, I'll be honest with you, it was it's a long-term risk play for me and Connor where, you know, if you watch the tape of Pacheco, I think he got 6 or 7 opportunities and did a lot with them. So he's the Chiefs' number one running back, and I'm just hoping that Andy Reid sees that. And, you know, every time they gave him the rock, he did something with it. So I'm hoping moving forward that he's just going to get a few more opportunities. Mm-hmm. So his performance was not for poor effort. He just didn't get the ball.
Yeah. Pacheco is just, he's a bit of a mystery sometimes. Like he didn't look bad on the ground. I mean, 12 for 70 on the ground, but they just don't give them to him through the air. Or they haven't been anyway.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that, you know, again, it's a risk. You look at the way that, I hate to say that Kansas City's struggling because they're not. It's just that they're the incumbent and we expect a lot of out of them every week. You know, it seems like they've got some chemistry issues. I felt like you can see Mahomes being a little frustrated. There's not the usual level of fireworks and they're having to fight a little harder for their wins. But I just think that bodes well for Pacheco. So I could be wrong.
All right. So that is week two in the books. Oh, I did give Daniel Jones the MVP from my book on this one. Just because that's probably the only time you'll ever hear his name as an MVP this year. I got to give it to him while he actually has a shot at it. All right, let's hand out some week one hardware.
The
the Telnet Offensive Player of the Week, Josh Allen, quarterback for Bear Bunda, 39.68 points. Let's bring up his stat line here just to sing it out. 31 for 274, 3 touchdowns, and 7 rushing yards. So congratulations for keeping Josh Allen. That was a tough choice, Danny. I know it was. Telnet Defensive Player of the Week, TJ Watt, linebacker for Roster Guard 99, breaking the real-life sack record for the Steelers. That's a fun little celebration to see. 21.8 points, 2 tackles, 2 assisted tackles, 1 sack, 1 fumble recovery, 1 pass defended, and 1 touchdown. First time, I didn't realize this, first time he's ever scored a touchdown, apparently. I could have sworn he had scored a touchdown before.
Yeah, when I saw that stat come through, I was like, what? That doesn't make sense.
I have had him on my team in so many leagues, and in the last 2 seasons, I've had him on my roster. And just by the sheer volume of points from sacks, I must have convinced myself some of them were touchdowns. All right. So defense or offensive player of the week for Sparcy. You might want to plug your ears. Daniel Jones, quarterback for Awful Waffles with his.
Oh, you said it already.
42.92 points. 26 for 321, 2 passing touchdowns, 59 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown. Also did have an interception and a tackle, I'm assuming because of one of those interceptions. And the defensive player of the week for Sparcy, Danielle Hunter, defensive lineman for Gridiron Mafia. And let's bring up his celebration there. 5 tackles, 3 assisted tackles, and 3 sacks. Yes, 18 points just off of sacks. So those are the guys that are doing more than anyone else. Let's move on to the poopers of the week.
The Brown Note! Neil McGuire!
Didn't write a whole big list here, but yeah, we got a list here. Do you want to read them out, or do you want to assign fun nicknames to them, or should we just throw them out there?
Why don't you go ahead and throw them out there? I am the least creative person in the world, so I will rely on you for your creativity as always.
All right. Go ahead. I'm honestly not feeling all that creative this week, but so I'm just going to throw them out there. Jahan Dotson, Dalvin's goose is cooked because he was negative. Travis Etienne, we already mentioned Javon Hargrave's half a tackle. I'm going to call him a goose. Half a tackle is not worth it. Calvin Ridley, a little too busy setting some picks for his own fantasy lineup. Already mentioned A.J. Brown pants. It's low-hanging fruit, but it's there. Devin White, Nick Bosa, Anthony Madison, Haason Reddick enjoys the goose, Tyler Algier. Should we put George Kittle on this list? Because he really is not George Kittle numbers, and he had 3 receptions, but he did nothing with them.
Yeah, let's keep him there.
All right, George Kittle.
For no other reason than just to piss Scott off.
George Kittle it is. Miles Garrett and his one whole tackle. He didn't even get to sack Kenny Pickett, so he can't put that gravestone up in his front yard this year for his Halloween decorations. You know about Miles' Halloween decorations?
I don't.
Every year at Halloween, he likes to decorate his front yard with gravestones of all the quarterbacks that he sacked.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't think he can put one for Kenny up there this year, though, because he hasn't sacked him yet this year. Roquan Smith, Christian Harris, and his half a tackle. Not very manly there. Levante David, Breece, go down the hall. Samaje Perine, Brian Burns, Jamar Chase, Josh Jacobs, and of course, I'm going to throw him on here, Massage Watson.
That's cold. I mean, he didn't do that bad.
He wasn't bad, and you know his numbers aren't bad, but he also had 3 turnovers.
He did,
which eliminated his touchdown. So
yeah, that was a pretty rough second half. I mean, that was, in my opinion, Brown's game to lose, or win. I lose. I mean, they just handed them the Steelers the win. So
yeah, I mean, his numbers aren't necessarily bad. 22 for 235 and a touchdown, but he also lost two fumbles and had an interception. So his touchdown is null and void in the point breakdown. So really, it's 22 for 235. So, yeah, his numbers aren't there, aren't horrible. He put up on just under 20 points as a quarterback. But as a quarterback, and your name is Deshaun Watson, I mean, Justin Fields, who we've been mocking for 2 weeks, just barely put up more points than Deshaun Watson did. So I'm going to put him in the boopers list. Besides, Jason needed Deshaun Watson to have a Deshaun Watson game, and Deshaun didn't have a Deshaun Watson game. So he is Massage Watson. That is your poopers for week 2. May your pants stay dry and clean. Let's look ahead to week 3. We're going to look first at number 9, San Diego 8 at 0-2, taking on number 10, Sweatman's Runners at 0-2. Now, the super early Yahoo projected outcome as of Wednesday afternoon has San Diego 8 winning by less than a point, and that's without a flex player in San Diego 8's lineup. Through 2 weeks, San Diego 8 has the number 7 offense, the number 8 defense. Sweatman's Runners has the number 8 offense, the number 5 defense. And number 7 San Diego in scoring versus number 8 Sweatman's Runners overall. They're actually separated by less than 3 points with what they've put out there on the field this season. So these two at 9 and 10 are pretty much the same team on paper when it comes to what they've scored so far this season. For San Diego 8, I actually, Ben, I definitely agree with you on quarterback, especially this week. I might try Goff at home over Lawrence. For the last year or two, Jared Goff at home in Detroit is stellar. And, if Lawrence even has a good game, they're going up against Houston, and Houston can't stop the run, so they probably won't need Lawrence to do much. If Jones is healthy, he doesn't have an easy matchup. I'm going to bring up their matchup because I don't remember which Jones I'm even talking about here.
Aaron Jones, Green Bay.
Yes, there it is. Yeah, Aaron Jones. Yeah, I'm not even sure that he'll be back on the field yet this week. There's still not a firm declaration there. Yeah, if he's healthy, it's not an easy one for him. I would like to see Roschon Johnson and what he does versus Kansas City. Player to watch, Ayuk. He may not be ready for Thursday night football because of the shoulder. He'll probably gut it out and play, but even if he does, it's probably not a great performance for him. For Sweatman's Runners, running back is murky this early. Austin Ankler may or may not be ready. Travis Etienne was supposedly on and off the field because of cramping a lot last week, but there's also scuttlebutt that's not the whole story. Justice Hill looks like he might be touchdown dependent in that three-headed monster. And wide receiver's kind of shaky too. Amon-Ra has a toe injury. It hasn't been officially declared turf toe, but what other kind of injury do you have on your toe? And Jahan Dotson has been a ghost through 2 weeks. I do like I don't have any explanations for it. I do like their defense. And CD has another very juicy matchup, but it could be a mirage if they don't need to run. And McCarthy was very clear in the offseason that got rid of the offensive coordinator because they wanted to do more balanced and not score so quickly. So I don't have I would not be surprised if they're up big at halftime and they just stop throwing it. So what do you think about San Diego 8 and Sweatman's Runners?
I don't feel good about this matchup at all. I think it's going to, based upon your summary of it, I think it's going to be kind of ugly. Numbers wise across the board, especially with the number of question marks we're seeing on both sides of the, both teams right now with the injury reports coming through. And I know everybody's dealing with that right now at this point in the week. But really for me, the matchup comes down to Jalen Hurts and what he can do in Tampa on Monday night. If he has a great game or above average game and CeeDee Lamb goes for, does even a mild CeeDee Lamb day, maybe not as good as last week, but close to it, I think this is Sweatman's Runners game to win. I don't think I'm picking them to win this game. I just don't really like San Diego's team this week. I've got a lot of question marks across the board. I think Keenan Allen will keep it interesting because as you can see from the Chargers, they're just throwing it. I mean, it's still seems like the last vestige of West Coast offense in this league. And they're just going to throw all year long. But nothing about his roster makes me feel good. So, but I think both teams are going to have a down week. And I think it's really on Jalen Hurts and CeeDee Lamb to kind of pull it over the top.
Yep. I'm actually swinging the other way. If San Diego 8 plugs in Jared Goff, I'm going to go with San Diego 8 in a close one. If they stick with Trevor Lawrence, I'll go Sweatman's Runners.
Man, you're doing these caveats this year.
I'm just saying, based on what he's got on there, I'd have to go with you. If he starts the quarterback I would like him to start, I'll go that way.
I'm just teasing you. You did that for my prediction last week, and I was like, everybody was like, if Kelsey starts, then it's Ty. If he doesn't, then it's Ben. It's not really a decision, guys.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Matchup number two. Number six, Night Shift at 101, taking on number five, Are You Not Entertained at 101, or whatever your name will be as of Sunday or Thursday. Super early projected outcome as Are You Not Entertained by 9 points. Through 2 weeks, Night Shift, number four offense, number six defense. Are You Not Entertained, number two offense, number nine defense. Number five overall in scoring for Night Shift, number four overall in scoring for Are You Not Entertained, but really only separated by 3.11 points. Very well, a lot of these matchups this week are very even, with the exception of, I think, one, if I remember right. For Night Shifts, this is going to be interesting now since we made that trade. Wide receiver core, even without Mike Evans, still feel good about it. Curious to see how I've been doing a lot of messing around with the defense. Curious to see how that comes through. And I'll go back to James Conner against Dallas. Mm-hmm. I'm really not expecting great things from Arizona or from James Conner, but they have no one else in that offense that will do anything. So I'm very curious to see what he does.
You're not going to do shit. You're going to do nothing. You just serve someone else there, buddy. I'm playing this week, and I'm just telling you, don't start Connor.
For Are You Not Entertained, for Ben, I like your defense. Looks solid. Debo could very well be in for a big step up this week with Ayuk on the ailing list. Running back looks like it could be shaky. Pollard, he's not getting the expected numbers as a lead back. They're rotating him more than I would have expected. And Breece was that afterthought versus Dallas. It's not as big as a matchup with him going up against New England, but I don't know that Bill really has to worry about any singular offensive weapon with Zach Wilson under center, so it's hard to say what to expect out of Breece Hall. Having said that, he's probably going to be the bright spot, and I'll eat my words next week. And I'm looking through now, and earlier today, I had made a note that Pacheco, whatever, could be the top running back on your roster this week. But I'm looking through now, and there's an injury designation that popped up today. Okay. I didn't know about.
Yeah.
That it either is or is not a hamstring. So what do you Tyreek. I'm very curious about what he will do up against Denver. They're really not as strong as a pass defense as in years past. So I'm thinking 2 touchdowns. What do you think about our matchup?
Yeah, I mean, with I saw that Hill's got a questionable tag, and I actually haven't read into it. But with Waddle clearly not playing, I can't imagine that he's not going to play. They have to have him in there. You know, to be honest with you, are you not entertained? I think Lamar Jackson has the opportunity for a big day against Indianapolis. But you know, Lamar seems to surprise me. There are games that the games he's not supposed to do well in, he does great. The games he's supposed to do well in, he's lackluster. I never really know. But I know what I expect. And I expect another 35 points out of him. That's what I want out of my starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. I agree with you with the running backs. I mean, both running backs and wide receiver core for me, even by my own assessment, it's not blowouts. It's not guaranteed. It doesn't feel like they're going to be guaranteed wins for me. There's concerns and holes in both sides of those positions. So I am concerned matchup wise. I hope Hopkins has a decent game, but I'm kind of losing faith in him a little bit with what's going on in Tennessee. It'll be kind of interesting what me and Connor decide to do, you know, watching Watson in Green Bay and see if Watson's healthy, see if we, you know, keep Ford in the lineup or we swap him out with Pacheco. And maybe I've got some more trades brewing in the background. You never know. So
never know.
Either way, with whatever tinkering me and Connor decide to do, I don't think it's a slam dunk against you. At all. I think we made a fair trade, and I think Nacua is really interesting to me. I think he's got huge upside, and I think as long as LA keeps giving him the ball, he's going to do good things. So maybe it comes down to kickers and tight ends for us. Who's kicker and who's tight ends? By the way, I have the number one kicker in the league right now. And every time I go on and read, Yahoo always tells me he's kicking more field goals per game than he didn't get any opportunity. They keep talking about Elliott's opportunity last year, and he's already gotten way more opportunity to kick field goals this year than he did last year. So, you know, maybe it comes down to that, Head. Kickers and tight ends.
Maybe.
Let's see. I'm going to pick me.
I'm picking you too. I think it'll be close, but I'm picking you too. All right. Next up is what I'm projecting to be our game of the week. Number 3, Awful Waffles at 2-0, taking on number 1, Gridiron Mafia, also at 2-0. Super early Yahoo projected outcome is that Gridiron Mafia takes it by 2 touchdowns. Now, remember, this is as of Wednesday afternoon when I put my notes together. Through 2 weeks, Awful Waffles number 1 on offense, number 10 on defense. Gridiron Mafia number 6 on offense, number 1 on defense. Awful Waffles number 3 overall and Gridiron Mafia number 1 overall, separated by about 33 points. So for Awful Waffles, I like the wide receiver core. Christian McCaffrey is strong. Although Moss has a little stiffer matchup versus Baltimore than he did against Houston. I don't think Zach will put up quite what he did against Houston, but still, it'll probably be a good day. Player to watch, Daniel Jones. Needs a huge day against San Francisco for Awful Waffles. I don't see Daniel Jones having a huge day against San Francisco. Gridiron Mafia. Defense is their cornerstone. Devonta Smith is pretty much a lock at this point, but DK Metcalf's rib could make him iffy. Doesn't sound like it's a big deal, but that could pop up during the game. Something to watch out for. Patrick Mahomes is going to eat this week. There's just no two ways about it. Player to watch for me, Miles Sanders. He's been very disappointing so far. Not that he's close to his projections, but just with his role, I'd expect more from him. But Seattle's a very favorable matchup. They've been just very weak this season against the run, and pretty much anyone and their grandmother could run on them. So, yeah, we'll see what Miles can do if he's healthy, because apparently he's got a questionable designation as well with a pectoral injury.
He does.
Yeah. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I think very simply, I think Mathias is an idiot to keep Daniel Jones in the lineup this week. I don't think he's going to have – I think San Francisco is going to – I think they're going to do a repeat of what Dallas did with that defense. So if I was Mathias, I'd be thinking about another quarterback in there. I don't think you're going to get the same production out of Nico Collins. He might have a decent game points, but it won't be the same. Who knows with Higgins? That's an ultimate wild card because we all know they're trying to get Chase more involved. I think Addison will have an okay game against against the Chargers for Minnesota. We'll see what McCaffrey has to do. He may not have to do a lot, for San Francisco. Kelsey will do well, but I don't think it's going to be enough, you know, because whatever Kelsey's getting, Mahomes is going to be getting. So they're offsetting each other. I think that I'm going to predict that Mathias has another like 140 week. He's going to yo-yo. We're just going to name him the league yo-yo. So I think Joe and Gridiron Mafia is going to clean house, and this is an easy win. And we saw this last year with Joe. Joe drafted and just sat for like 8 weeks and won fucking 8 in a row. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do anything with his roster. He tinkers a little bit here and there. It's quiet on the ring and just wins. Yeah. And I think he's going to win big this week.
Yep. I'm with you there. Joe's winning this one. Gridiron Mafia. Lock it in. Next up, number two, Bear Bunda's Nightmare at 2-0, taking on number four, Roster Guard 99, the weakest 2-0 team in the league. Yahoo's super early projected outcome. I'll have the numbers for you guys to back that up in just a moment. Roster Guard 99 by less than a point as of Wednesday afternoon. Through 2 weeks, Bear Bunda's Nightmare, number three offense, number two defense. Roster Guard, number 12 offense, number three defense. Number two overall, Bear Bunda in scoring. Number nine overall, Roster Guard in scoring. These two teams are separated by 84 points. This is why I said Roster Guard 99 is the weakest 2-0 team in the league. They are number nine overall in points scored. They are a benefit of a good schedule so far. So, Bear Bunda, but hey, win's a win. That's what you want. Diggs and Pittman look like strong. They look like they're going to get strong numbers this week, and the defense should roll based on all of their matchups. Kittle worries me. Even though Ayuk's probably going to be not so great, he was not so great last week, and Kittle still only got three catches. He is getting targets, but he's not doing anything with them, and this is historically not untrue for George Kittle as a player. That's just he has booms and busts when he's actually healthy. I am going to be watching Jamal Williams. If he's not healthy, which is looking like he's not going to be, I think pretty much the only person on Bear Bunda's roster that he can throw in there that would qualify would be Ezekiel Elliott against the Jets, who apparently Bill Belichick really wants to make a thing. So let's see. Roster Guard, a lot of the team is shaky. Half the defense has been underperforming. Burrow is going to be playing hurt. Drake London turned in. He finally woke up in week two.
Yeah, he turned in a different performance. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, went from donut to hello world. I would expect him to build off of that, maybe not necessarily match it, but at least continue. Player to watch, Najee. Las Vegas is a bottom three run defense, but Najee has... Kelly will attest to this. I was sitting on the couch watching the game Monday night, and I have Jaylen Warren, but Jaylen was on my bench, and I didn't want to see Najee on the field because I'm just sick of watching Najee hit the line and fall down or run backwards and fall down. Najee's getting a bottom three run defense this week. If he doesn't make it happen for roster guard 99, I would seriously consider benching him until he sees him do something. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, just from the eye test of looking at both these rosters, I'm nervous for roster guard at wide receiver. I read their wide receiver names off their roster, and I think Wilson's going to be fine, but he's going to be a function of his quarterback. And we all know what's going on in New Jersey. So Garrett Wilson's a rock star. He did a lot with nothing in that loss, but you know, he's not the question. It's the quarterback. I don't think Drake London, we don't know what's going to show up again. If I were John, I would get rid of Sutton off the lineup. I'd try with as well as Russell Wilson's doing. I just don't like the way he looks. I don't trust him at all. So I just don't like roster guards. I think they're going to have a really weak wide receiver output. That being said, I agree with you about Kittle. I don't think he's going to do a lot. Robinson may be good, but he's got a tough matchup against Buffalo. I don't think Algier is going to do anything, against Detroit. I think this really comes down to how Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs do. They do well. This is Danny's game to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if roster guards, wide receiver core can put up a fight, maybe it'll be closer than I think, but I give the edge to Danny. I think he's going to win.
Yep, that's my pick too. Matchup number five. Number seven, E-Town Asian at 1-1, taking on number eight, Jim Kelly Hates Cancer at 1-1. Super early Yahoo projected outcome, E-Town Asian by around 10 points. Through 2 weeks, E-Town Asian is our number five offense, our number seven defense. Jim Kelly Hates Cancer is our number nine offense and our number 11 defense, making them E-Town Asian our number six overall and Jim Kelly Hates Cancer our number 11 overall. E-Town Asian has barely been underperforming. Meanwhile, Jim Kelly Hates Cancer is nearly 50 points under their projections through 2 weeks. Now, for Asian, I like the wide receivers. Olave versus Green Bay, Jefferson versus the Chargers. I got to strike that Waddle comment because he's probably not going to play. But he's concussed. He didn't practice Wednesday. It'd be a long shot for him to play at this point. I am very curious about Jahmyr Gibbs' usage. Montgomery went out. It could have been game flow, but they really did not increase Gibbs' workload. Does he go into the lead back role? Does he stay in this role with Craig going in the Montgomery role? I'm very curious to see what Jahmyr gets. For Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, Herbert and Devontae have very tremendous matchups. The running back should have some nice work to do as well. The rest of the wide receivers worry me. Ridley has a soft defense in Houston, but I've already mentioned it. Jacksonville shouldn't have to throw much. JSN is being used like a true rookie wide receiver who's coming back from an injury. Player to watch, if AJ Brown pants doesn't do anything, I say we demote him to wide receiver two. He's already yelled at his quarterback on the sidelines. I don't know if he can do anything else. What do you think about E-Town and Jim Kelly?
Yeah, it's, I think, you know, if you're in the draft room with Chuck, it's, he kind of has a pattern every year, and he's the type of guy that likes to draft very specific people. He's the guy that identifies the exact person he wants and he goes out and gets them. He doesn't really do draft value. It's not his style. But to me, that's what's biting him in the ass this year. You know, he's that kind of mentality and that game plan is just not, it's just not showing up like it does. It has in years past. It's week two. I love you, Chuck. It's week two. So we got time, but so far very underwhelming. I mean, and even looking at his roster right now, like I'd be like, yeah, I would expect Chuck to win this game, but you peel back the layers a little bit and I'm not so confident. I think, honestly, I'm going to go big on this one. I think that I'm going to give this one to Josh. I think he's due for a blow up game. I think he's going to go for 200 and edge out Chuck on this. Just with two, I think Miami's going to eat in Denver. I think they're just going to score a lot of points. So I feel like this is going to be E-Town's week. So I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with the projected underdog of Jim Kelly. You know, with Waddle not playing, Tyreek's got a nursing an ankle injury himself, and Chuck's got that juggernaut at tight end, Taysom Hill. I mean, how can you beat that? No sarcasm there. I'm just rolling with the underdog on this one.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
You got to pick one.
I do. I got to pick one every week. I was the underdog last week. I'm going to go with Chuck this week. And our final matchup is going to be our Toilet Bowl game of the week, which is, I have in my notes, the Pierce preview. Because it's number 11, Lance Manlove at 0-2 versus number 12, the 25%ers at 0-2. Super early Yahoo projected outcome, Lance Manlove takes it by around 35 points. Through 2 weeks, Lance Manlove is the number 11 offense, number 4 defense. 25%ers are the number 10 offense and the number 12 defense. Lance Manlove is number 10 overall in scoring, and 25%ers are number 12 overall in scoring, separated by about 53 points. But Lance Manlove has been underperforming by about 40 points under what they're projected, compared to the 25%ers only 27 points under their expectations. Take that however you want. You'll take it and you'll like it. For Lance Manlove, I would be surprised if any offensive weapons this week met their projections. Maybe Thomas and Boyd. Davis is boom or bust. Gabe Davis in Buffalo, and he just boomed. Jamar Chase, maybe they finally get him the ball this week. After 2 weeks, who knows? Burrow's got that leg issue, and, you know, who knows? But this is probably his week now that I've said maybe. Derrick Henry gets the toughest defense he's faced yet this season. If they win it this week, it'll be because the defense carries them. For their player to watch, I'm keeping my eyes on Josh Jacobs. We all know he held out all offseason. He has looked like it in the first 2 weeks. He had negative rushing yards last week. The only reason he had any positive points is in the receiving game. And so, is 2 weeks enough to run roughshod over a visiting Pittsburgh defense? Maybe. We'll see. For 25%ers, as of Wednesday, Richardson's still in concussion protocol, so he's not going to play. I'd slot in Kirk Cousins there. It's not a primetime game. Kirk is going to have a nice game. Actually, Kirk had a nice primetime game. He just didn't win.
Yeah, that's all I can talk about. But from a fantasy standpoint, he did just fine.
Yeah. And there is a world where the wide receivers blow up this week, where we've got McLaurin and Mike Williams and Treylon Burks and Josh. There is a world where I can see all three of these having huge weeks with their matchups. Washington playing from behind, Mike Williams. That's just how Los Angeles plays.
San Diego. Yes,
San Diego. I wish they stayed in San Diego. Treylon Burks, he's increasing each week, and clearly they're not throwing the ball to Nuke, and they're going to need to throw it. There's a world there where I can see it happening. David Montgomery may not play, probably won't play, so keep an eye on that. And honestly, this defense needs an overhaul, so I'd hit the waiver wire, maybe work some trades. Player to watch, DeAndre Swift's usage. Nice call on that one last week. I'm curious to see what they do with it once they get the other head of their two-headed monster they want to use back in. What do you think, Ben, of our Toilet Bowl potential Pierce Bowl preview?
Yeah, this is a toss-up for me. I concur with your summaries of both teams. I think that Lance Manlove is in danger of having another down week and underperforming. Not that he did bad last week, but I agree. I look as wide receivers and I'm not excited about them at all. His defense is strong though. I mean, his upside for his defense is really tough. So that's might be what carried the victory for him this week. But at the same time, I'm looking at the 25%ers. And I agree with you that this could be a go-off game for these wide receivers. It's exciting. I think this game will be a lot closer. But unless Josh goes online and figures out how to actually do IDP, Jason's defense is going to win this. So as much as I really want to give this to Jizza, I'm going to pick Jason for a very close, meager win.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Jason. Unless Josh does some dramatic work on his defense, Jason's got this one in a squeaker. Free advice. Kenyon Drake signing to the Baltimore practice squad is probably not worth spending a roster spot on when you got a defense that needs a little love there. But going Lance Manlove's way unless 25%ers get some give some love to their defense there. That is your week three. Before we shut everything down, let's go with some keep trade cut, Ben. Specifically tailored to you. Keep trade cut. Keep one, trade one, cut one. Scotch, wine, and beer.
Oh man. I gotta keep one, trade one, cut one. This is just indicative of where I'm at with alcohol these days. I'm gonna keep beer. Cut wine and trade scotch.
All right.
But ask me again next week.
That's exactly what I would have called for you on that one this week.
Really? Because that feels new to me. I'm in a new era. I've got Grizzly Adams, my beard.
I think it's beard that settled it, because it was I was going back and forth between wine and beer for what you'd be keeping.
Yeah, I'm going to go and say wine's tough for me to drink these days. I used to drink it and enjoy it quite a bit, and my enjoyment of wine has dropped off quite a bit. So crave beer more now.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, if I'm being honest, it literally this summer, and it was about 2 months ago, I have not drank soda regularly in probably 15 years. And for whatever reason, Mexican Cokes, I don't know why. It's
the glass bottle.
It's the glass bottle. For some reason, about 2 months ago, I just started hitting up Mexican Cokes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
It's different. It really is. When I was down in Nicaragua a handful of years back, it's different there. It's different down in Peru. There's just something different about them.
So refreshing.
It is.
I don't know why.
Anyway, this is not sponsored by Mexican Coca-Cola, but if they want to throw some money my way, I will gladly take it and be your sponsor whore. I went 3 for 3 last week, so that's 6 for 6. I'm at 500 on the season for my picks, so... somebody do better and win when I say you're going to win. You can buy NFFL swag on Redbubble. I'm not keeping up with Ben's team names this year. I'm not even going to try.
There.
bit.ly/NellisNFFL. No buys yet this week, but the Giants are visiting San Francisco on Thursday, the day that this will drop. Ben, thanks for joining me and hopping on the mic. Been a joy.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Good luck to everyone out there.
That's right. We'll see you on the gridiron. And I have nothing more creative than that to say. So goodbye.
The NFFL podcast is a production of Head First Studios. Head First Studios. Tell your story.